Welcome to the PodTech.net Info Talk Series here with Rob Chandra with Bessemer Venture Partners. Rob, welcome to the podcast.
John, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit what's going on with Bessemer. I mean, a lot of people may or may not know, but Bessemer is probably one of the oldest venture capital firms around. Is that true?
Yeah, that is true. Our firm was founded in 1911, so we are the oldest venture capital firm in the country.
And we're here in Menlo Park, California. Tell us a little bit about what's happening with you. What are you investing in? What's out there right now in terms of the landscape? A lot of other venture capitalists and executives I've been doing talks with and podcasts that have been talking about, you know, Web 2.0, major shift in the economy. It feels good. People are investing. What's happening in your words?
Well, usually when I'm asked what's happening, it's intended to really ask two questions. The first part is, are we getting back to the good old days of the bubble? And I think, unfortunately, we'll probably never get back to the good old days of the bubble, as good as they were. But having said that, the last 18 months or so have been about as good as it's been since the bubble. If you look at some of the data in terms of dollars invested, dollars raised, number of rounds done, average pre-money valuation, all of those numbers are about the highest it's been since the year 2000.
Is that because of activity overall by entrepreneurs or competition for the deals among VCs or both?
I think it's a little bit of – it's several factors. I think the entrepreneurs are seeing opportunities again. So one number that comes to my mind is in the year 2004, the venture community invested – I want to say close to $20 billion on a nationwide basis, and that was about as high as it's been in a while. And some of the things that drove it are entrepreneurs are back. They're more interested in areas. I think another thing that's back is the larger companies are doing well again, and so they're starting to buy smaller companies again, which fuels the cycle of entrepreneurship. IPOs are back, not quite the way it was before. A data that comes to mind is since January of 2004, there have been 83 IPOs. That's a, you know, it's not a bubble number, but it's certainly the type of number that...
It's a momentum number.
Certainly, absolutely. And it certainly suggests some level of sustainable entrepreneurship being rewarded by the public markets.
So in terms of areas that you see are hot right now, so you have a specific area. What areas are you investing in and what areas do you see generally hot right now?
Okay. So our firm, we tend to develop roadmaps where we try to sit back and think about areas to invest in. And so for the last, you know, call it a year, year and a half, maybe two, we've had a few areas where our firm's been quite active. We've been very active in the wireless area in general. So examples of that would be companies like Celtel, where we were a Series A investor, and the company was acquired in Q1 of this year for $3.3 billion. Companies like Flareon, which are also in the wireless space, making kind of fourth-generation types of wireless equipment. We're really excited about. So wireless is an area that continues to be, and I think will be for a while for us, a really exciting area. A second area is voice over IP. We were the first investors in Skype in the Series A, and that's been a really terrific story for us. But it doesn't stop with just Skype. I think there are other things that follow Skype. Some in the infrastructure area, like BroadSoft, we're really excited about. A third area for us after wireless and voice over IP is security. Data security continues to be a challenge for enterprises, and we continue to see lots of investment opportunities there.
That's been a big area for you guys with Dave Cowan, your partner, who co-founded and invested in VeriSign.
That's correct.
Which is great success story and doing great. But let's talk about, with a segue off VeriSign and in general, broadband usage. We talk about wireless. I mean, VeriSign has been very active with a lot of new stuff that's really fueling their revenue. You know, companies who make ringtones and, you know, basically transit stuff. I mean, the internet platform is maturing, right? Right, and everyone's talking about that. Also, broadband penetration is up. With wireless, I mean, everyone's devices are going to get smaller and more powerful. So isn't it all converging in that way? And how do you see that convergence affecting new startups and how companies may buy or shift their platforms?
Well, there's so many consumer products that are converging. There are technologies that are converging. And when convergence happens, there's always debate about who will win and why and what the killer features are and how it needs to be integrated to provide the best possible user experience. And our experience has always been that whenever markets change, incumbents tend not to respond as well to it as startups because incumbents are more interested in preserving their
position.
Yeah, their way of doing business is kind of what they've gotten used to.
Or their cash cow, like an ILEC or someone like that.
That's right. And now it's scary to think about the internet this way, but I think it's true in the internet world, they're now incumbents. In the wireless world, they're incumbents. And as you think about the wireless world and the internet world converging, it's more likely than not that there will be startups who've identified new usage models. And it'll be these companies that we think of as new companies but are now mature companies like Yahoo, eBay, and others that are more likely to be on the acquiring side. So our view of the world as we think about this convergence is we're looking for entrepreneurs who have ideas on how to take advantage of this convergence and identify some new way in which users to identify some entertainment experience, some communication experience, some surfing
like
experience.
Like podcasting.
Like blogging. And as we find entrepreneurs who have ideas that are really quite clever, we're getting behind them.
Let's talk about wireless because obviously everyone who has had a BlackBerry device or even a cell phone these days with cameras and now with the success of the iPod with Apple, there's a lot of talk that now these devices are truly going to become multimedia, where it's multifunctional. I can check my email.
That's right.
I can actually listen to a podcast, do a video blog. I mean, we talked before we got on the program about the London bombing, about how people can actually post commentary or grassroots citizen journalism, whatever they want to call it. All this stuff's happening. How do you see that happening? What do you see the mobile people doing? Are they going to cannibalize their own opportunity to be successful? What do you see that happening?
Well, first of all, it's great for society in general when people participate in society. So I view all of these mediums, podcasting, blogging in particular, as ways for people to participate. And as I broadly think about the society we live in globally, as we enter a phase of information technology development where individuals are contributing so much more actively into the debate of society, when so many people are challenging stories that come out from trusted publications, when in the case of the London bombing, so much of the news first really came out from just eyewitnesses at the scene as opposed to journalists for Associated Press and the like, I think that's terrific. For the democratic process, it's just terrific. So how do I see it playing out? You know, I think – I don't know if I have a crystal ball that's any different or better than anyone else's.
But in terms of deals,
ball.
You're seeing entrepreneurs coming with new technology. You mentioned you're looking at entrepreneurs who can play in this new area, be nimble, be innovative. What areas do you see there?
So in particular, a strategy that we've seen work really successfully. It worked really well during the internet world when the internet world was developing 10 years ago. We've seen it work really well in the wireless world, which has been developing in parallel, in some ways accelerating the last 5 years. And I think we're going to see it also work in the world of blogging and podcasting. There's two types of companies that develop. First is the company that's actually the service provider, which is the Yahoo or the eBay, which is providing an end service to a consumer. But behind that service provider is an ecosystem of technology providers. And in every ecosystem that develops, there's always a couple of customer-facing big companies with big brands. But behind them are all these technologies and tools that are developed. We try to play in both, but more often than not, we find some of the more interesting entrepreneur opportunities in the technology and tools area. So as we think about the wireless world, for example, and we think about all of the technologies that are being converged to this wireless platform, we imagine behind it are all these technical challenges. I'll give you an example. Power. As you add a digital camera to your smartphone, as you add ability to take some video on your smartphone, as you add a constant email checking feature to your smartphone, as you communicate more and more on your smartphone, you're draining the battery. To be able to get your cell phone to be something that's productive for you through the whole day and get a good user experience, you need really cool power management functions. There's several really interesting semiconductor companies that are working on managing the power in the handset. And it's by no coincidence that some of the most interesting semiconductor startups in the last year or so have been in the power management area.
Well, that's something that no one really would sit back and say, hey, that's not a sexy venture in terms of sex appeal, you know, on every front page like Google. But it's really necessary.
Absolutely.
I mean, without that in the ecosystem, that speaks to your ecosystem. You talked about your roadmap that your firm, Bessemer, looks at in terms of investments. You mentioned Skype. Talk about the impact that Skype is going to have. Obviously, you know, I mean, just from telecom providers like ILEX to entrepreneurs. I mean, I can partner with an entrepreneur in Stockholm, in Colorado, in Canada, in North Carolina, in Boston, here in California with Skype. I don't have to really be limited. So Skype is kind of changing communication. How do you see that whole?
Well, you know, for me, one of the interesting Skype moments was I went to visit a portfolio company we had seed funded, maybe about 6 weeks after we had seeded them. And I went to check out the offices, and the founders were really quite excited about it. It's a semiconductor startup. They were very excited about their office space. It occurred to me after taking the tour of the facility that I didn't see any phones in any of the cubes. So I asked the founder, I said, gee, I didn't notice any phones. When are you guys going to get your phones? And he looked at me and said, well, have you heard of this company called Skype? We're not going to get phones. And I said, well, explain why. He said, well, between the cell phones that everybody carries as it is and Skype that everyone will have on their desktop and their laptop, we don't really see a need to have a phone.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, why have a landline at home when we have three cell phones in our house and we now have Skype?
That's right.
How does – so who hurts from that? Well, who's punished by that?
Well, obviously – you know, obviously
we know the answer to that one.
Well, all the incumbents. Yeah. I mean, I think the incumbents have the most to lose here, and I think it's consequently no surprise that the incumbents are the ones who are really thinking most about how to take advantage of voice over IP. And I think over time we'll see incumbents react in two forms, those that really go away over time and those that really take advantage of voice over IP to reduce the cost of the offering that they have and find other services to add to it. So it's by no coincidence all of a sudden we're hearing a lot more about IPTV, because IPTV perhaps may be a way for incumbent telco providers to substitute revenues they're losing on the voice side with higher value revenues in the form of TV.
So that could help them.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about incumbents. You mentioned the internet companies. We actually now have incumbents. The web's now 10 years old and growing, actually 12 years old, and Amazon just turned 10. Some entrepreneurs wouldn't look at them as incumbents. How are they going to behave? What should they be doing in your mind?
Well, it depends on the incumbent. Well, first of all of the internet incumbents, if you will, the leaders, are doing really well. I mean, they're in businesses today that are growing quite rapidly. If you look at Yahoo as just one example, even though Google's gotten a lot of attention, if you look at Yahoo's performance in the last 3 years, I think they've tripled revenues. So it's really quite fantastic performance. So first of all, I think what the incumbents probably will do is continue to grow the businesses that they're in because they're in fantastic businesses. Second, they have really assembled smart people in all their executive teams, and consequently, none of them have a culture that allows them to rest. I think they have cultures that really encourages a lot of innovation. They're going to continue to innovate, extend their platform, and they will continue to make acquisitions when they identify opportunities that allow them to dramatically improve their platform.
So that I think that's a key point for people to understand, especially entrepreneurs, is that a Yahoo or even a Google, they may not have time to figure out a new market because they're so busy growing their existing business. So what may look like a no-brainer for a Yahoo to go into shouldn't, you know, stop an entrepreneur from just doing it, because that's an acquisition.
That's right.
So that's the possible exit.
That's right.
Well, good points, Rob. But I always ask all my guests one final parting question, which is big prediction. 5 years out from now, something profound. Our world is changing. You've had a lot of experience investing. You've been a management consultant. You've worked with a lot of startups. You invest money. Next 5 years, looking at your roadmap and your own personal opinion, what's going to change in our world that's going to be completely different than it is now, that we're going to look back and say, wow?
Well, our firm's view is certainly a big change that's affecting all of us and will continue to affect us is the emergence of China and India, not just as places for low-cost development, but really for places for massive innovation. We see signs of that happening in China and certainly in India and Bangalore. And so as a consequence of that, our firm's really expanded into both of those markets. We've hired people into those markets, because we really think 5 years from today, when we look back on what's happened, we'll see that there's an ecosystem similar to the ecosystem in Silicon Valley that's been replicated in places outside of Silicon Valley. And I think it's going to change entrepreneurship from being a Valley game or U.S. game to being a much more of a global game than it is now.
Wow, big prediction. Global entrepreneurship, global venture capital. Rob Chandra, general partner at Bessemer Venture Partners. Thanks for the podcast.
Thank you.